These Modern Times by John A. Robinson. The right front tire of the panel truck went down into a pothole with a sickening thump, making Al more livid than Bill could have sworn was possible. "Damn them," Al hissed, his knuckles white upon the steering wheel. "How many hundreds of years has this country been in existence, and they have yet to fix these shoddy roads?" Bill pushed his glasses back up onto his nose for what must have been the 100th time that evening, and continued studying the road map. "You always have to have something to complain about," he complained. "Perhaps if you were a little more skilled at avoiding the holes, this would not be an issue." As an aside, he added, "just remember, too, to keep an eye out for Lincoln Street." Al glowered through the windshield at the road ahead and did not respond at once. There was a light drizzle, accompanied by an annoyance of fog, and visibility was reduced substantially. The wipers went back and forth, and he hated the monotony. "Roads in Europe were never this bad," he finally grumbled, as though the conversation had not ended, but merely paused to catch its breath. Bill let the map fall into his lap, then looked to his partner. "Do we have to go through all of this again? We were delivering in Europe, now we have the American route. What bloody difference does it make what continent we're on? We still have jobs, don't we?" "I'll tell you what bloody difference it makes, you old sod," Al seethed, and almost as if on cue, the left front tire dipped into a crater again. Thump, and the entire cab jerked. "There! You see? We never had these problems in Europe." Bill looked down his nose at Al. It was the only way he could look at Al without pushing his spectacles up again. "We never had these problems in Europe because where we were, they didn't have roads. You were too busy dodging goats and sheep to worry about potholes, you..." Something out of the corner of Bill's eye stopped him. "Oh, hells, that was it. Stop the truck." Al applied the brakes, and the truck reluctantly slowed to a halt, skidding only slightly on the wet pavement.
"What was it?"
"Lincoln Street," Bill sighed. "The one we were looking for? 3 stop signs and then 5th right."
"I thought it was 5 stop signs and then 3rd right."
Al frowned and scratched at his cheek with a stubby finger.
Hold on. No, it was..."
Bill stopped himself and shook his head as if to clear it. "Why are we arguing about it?" he demanded to know. "How many Lincoln Streets can there be in a city with only 8,000 souls? He lowered his voice. "Do make yourself useful, would you? Back us up a bit."
"Useful," Al grunted. "Useful, eh? Fine."
He looked in his mirror and put the truck in reverse. They inched backwards.
Yes. Excellent. Lincoln Street. Go ahead and turn in."
"What number are we looking for?"
"Wait."
Bill looked around the cab of the truck.
"I have the form right here."
He opened the latch of the glove compartment and it fell open, spilling its contents into the floorboard. 2 pens, a pencil with a broken lead, a shabby romance novel that Al had been reading despite his protestations that he had never laid eyes upon it before, a wrapper to some chocolate bar long since eaten, and lastly, a substantial pile of forms, yellow, pink, and blue. These aforementioned forms scattered themselves in a perfect example of true chaos, almost as if they had a mind to do so.
"Hells," Bill repeated with more conviction this time, studying the carnage at his feet.
"Well, go on,"
Al urged.
"Night's not getting any younger."
You're right, Bill agreed and began to shuffle through the forms looking for the one in question. "The name was Winston, just give me a minute."
"Take your time,"
Al responded, pulling from his breast pocket a cigarette. He lit it and puffed upon it thoughtfully.
"Remember what life was like without all of the forms?"
Bill sighed.
"Yes, I do. It was paradisiacal."
Al stared at him.
"Or a necessary equivalent," Bill corrected. "Still, it was so simple back then."
"Yeah."
Al exhaled a smoke ring and watched it die against the windshield.
"We had an exchange to make. They told us where. We went there. We made the exchange. Job done. Case closed."
Bill nodded.
"But, Al, you understand the need for this. There has to be some semblance of order involved.
After all, the population exploding like it is, we just couldn't function in the haphazard way we had before. Al waved off his explanations. I know, I've heard it all before, we've both heard it all before, and yeah, it makes sense when the boss explains it. But it just makes life harder on the little guys, us.
He punctuated this final word by grounding the cigarette out in the truck's ashtray.
Found it,
Bill exclaimed, holding up a pink form. Winston, 1243 Lincoln Street. He attached the form to his clipboard for safekeeping.
1243,
Al repeated and began driving again, scanning the mailboxes and curbsides for the number in question.
Should be on the right.
Ah, and there it is. Excellent. Bill beamed at his partner.
We might make it home before the next century after all.
Al laughed and pulled up in front of the house in question. He shifted the truck into park and turned the ignition off.
Well, let's get this over with.
The two climbed down out of the truck's cab and then shut their doors with practiced care toward minimizing noise. They went around to the back. Al unlocked the large door and it rolled upwards. Bill hoisted himself into the back of the truck and rummaged around in the near total darkness, studying the large packages within. He leaned out to Al.
Do you have the flashlight? My vision must get worse by the day.
Al unclipped a penlight from his belt and handed it up.
Thanks.
Within another minute, the package in question had been discovered, and Bill handed it down. He clambered down himself, groaning as he did so.
You are getting old, Al commented, smirking.
Oh, shut up, Bill returned. The only reason you do the driving is because of your back.
Can I help it if it acts up?
Al asked, shrugging helplessly. They shut the back of the truck and trudged up the walk to the house.
I remember when doing this was still fun, exchanging, you know?
Al asked as Bill reached into his pocket and produced a small bag.
Yes, yes, Bill muttered, only half listening as he drew out a handful of gray powder.
It used to be a challenge, but now it's gone sour like everything else, procedures and such. What a bother.
They made their way up the front steps and stopped on the porch.
I concur,
Bill remarked, and slowly let the powder trickle out of his hand, forming a line parallel with the bottom of the front door. He then dipped his finger in the powder and drew a trapezoidal symbol surrounded by a circle just underneath the fisheye lens. He knocked in the center of the drawing 3 times. A small sifting of gray drifted away from the door. They waited. After a minute, Al spoke up.
Maybe they didn't hear you.
They heard me, Bill replied softly.
Just then, they heard locks turn, and the front door opened. A man who looked to be half asleep appeared in the doorway. He was shirtless, his only dress being his striped pajama bottoms.
Yes?
He slurred.
Good evening, Bill greeted the man. You are Stephen Winston.
Yes,
Stephen Winston replied.
My name is Bill Lyle. My partner and I are here to make an exchange if you'll be kind enough to show us your nursery.
Oh. Oh, of course,
Stephen Winston said and made room for them in the passage with a lethargic eagerness.
Please, come in.
The two men made their way into the house, Bill first, then Al behind him, bearing the package.
It's down the hallway and to your right,
Stephen explained.
Do you require assistance?
No, thank you, Bill answered, already heading down the hall.
A voice drifted out to them.
Stephen?
Stephen poked his head into the master bedroom.
There'll only be a moment, Helen. They're making an exchange.
An exchange?
Helen's voice asked, sounding as if she were still in a dream.
Yes, dear. They're here for Morgan.
Oh,
Helen replied in much the same form as her husband had. She made as if to return to her slumber, but then stopped.
Would they like some coffee?
Stephen's eyebrows went up, and he called down the hallway.
Would either of you like some coffee?
Al spoke up, despite himself.
Coffee?
Bill hushed him quickly. No, thank you, sir. We won't be here long enough for that, but thank you. Stephen relayed this to his wife, who nodded assent, turned over, and went back to sleep. In the nursery, Bill was chastising his partner in hushed tones.
You should know better than that, asking for coffee. What do you think this is?
I'm sorry, I forgot myself, Al defended. But it's been so long since I had a good cup of coffee, and it's been such a long trip and all.
Well, never mind that. If they do too much, they'll regain awareness, and then where will we be?
Al shuddered at this, and said nothing else in his own behalf. Instead, he fell back on ceremony and set down the box. He ran a finger down the length of it, and the tape cut itself in two as it passed.
Careful, Bill reminded. Al pouted.
I didn't tell you how to draw the sigil.
Just be careful, Bill hissed.
Al drew from the box a gossamer, shapeless substance, which looked as if it were made entirely of dull cobwebs. It hung limply in his hands, only one end twitching slightly.
All right. Make the exchange.
Bill looked down into the crib at Morgan.
She's such a little thing, he mused aloud as he reached into her.
Another she?
Al inquired, standing with the gray substance at the ready.
Yes, she. We seem to be getting just as many exchanges these days for girls as for boys. In the old days it was a man's world only, but now women can cause just as much havoc.
He drew from the little girl something as dissimilar from what Al held twitching in his hands as night from noon. It was a full-bodied version of its dull counterpart, golden and positively glowing in the darkened room. They exchanged their burdens.
Okay, in you are, my sweet.
Bill tipped his hands forward, and the stringy gray substance dribbled out of his hands and into the little girl. The substance swam around her physical frame for a few short moments before settling and disappearing below her surface. She shifted a little in her sleep, but nothing more.
And in you are,
Al commented, placing the glowing, throbbing substance into the box. He held the lid down with one hand as the other sealed it shut again. He hefted the box into his hands, feeling its increased weight.
Woof, he exhaled. I am getting too old for this.
No time for clowning, Bill explained. Let's leave before the symbol on the door gets washed away or something equally debilitating.
They walked out into the hallway to find Stephen Winston leaning back against the wall, head drooped forward, snoring softly.
Mr. Winston.
Bill snapped his fingers and the man came half alive again.
What? Yes?
Stephen stirred.
Oh, so sorry about that.
Not a problem, sir.
Bill held out a clipboard, along with a pen.
All finished. Could you sign here, please?
Bill had marked the blank at the bottom of the form with an X. Stephen took the pen he was offered and wrote his signature. The ink glowed slightly for the briefest of moments, and then faded. He handed the clipboard back to Bill, who tore from underneath the top form a blue facsimile. This he wadded into a small ball and held it against the man's forehead until it sank inside Stephen's skull. Out of view.
The blue copy's yours to keep.
Stephen shook his head as if he had been slightly startled.
Oh. Thanks.
Sorry to have troubled you, sir, Bill said, leading Al to the door.
No trouble at all, the man replied, seeing them out. Be safe out there. Drive careful.
No worry of that,
Bill responded with a smile as the door shut, leaving them outside alone. The two men trudged back toward the street.
Another job well done, Al observed.
Yes, yes.
Bill rolled up the back of the truck and was handed up the box. He inscribed a symbol similar to the one placed on the door of the Winston's house on the side of the box with a black magic marker. He put it back on the shelf and climbed down. The two men secured the back door and then climbed into the cab. Al cranked the engine, but instead of driving on immediately, turned to look at his partner.
You're awfully quiet, he observed.
Just thinking, Bill answered, and would say no more.
Thinking of what?
Al urged.
The old days, when things were simpler, before the paperwork and the signatures and all. Back when it used to be interesting, a challenge.
Yes, I know.
Bill took off his spectacles and wiped them on his sleeve.
Well, there is something to be glad of.
And that would be?
Al asked,
that even with all the bureaucracy in the world, there are still the ones at the bottom who can get things done, Bill proclaimed.
Well said,
Al shifted the truck into drive. It began lumbering off.
Well said indeed.
The truck rounded the corner of Lincoln and Third and disappeared.